Welcome back to the Final Shot Podcast. Today, the show is brought to you by The Wellness Company. So go over to twc.health. That's twc.health/final shot. Make sure you put the final shot in there, because if you make a purchase, you'll save some money on that purchase. And make sure you go over and you check out the spike support. It doesn't matter if you've had COVID-19, got a vaccination, or been around somebody with COVID. We're all producing the spike protein at this point. I'm fairly positive of it. So get the spike support. It'll help alleviate the spike protein from your system, along with some other things, like intermittent fasting, a 72-hour fast, stuff like that. You guys can go back in previous episodes, listen to Dr. Mackis or Dr. Trozzi talk about what you can do to alleviate the spike protein out of your system. We're also brought to you by Onnit. They're my first and my most loyal, other than the wellness company, loyal sponsors. They never gave up on me while I got banned. They always came through. So thank you to Onnit. So go check them out. It's onnit.com. Use the promo code TFS podcast on checkout and you'll save anywhere between 10 and 20% on your purchase. On their website, everybody should check out the Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is a great nootropic. I've been using it for the better part of 10 years. So again, it's onnit.com. Use the promo code final shot. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're on Rumble, you can see my guest today. My guest is Dr. Ben Tapper. He has studied vaccinations and adverse reactions for over 20 years and has put on vaccine lectures for the past decade. How are you today, Dr. Tapper?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I don't really like to introduce you guys, because I kind of like you guys to do it yourself, because you're going to be better than me at it. So if you could go through who you are, your list of accolades, and then we'll be off to the races.
I think you did a great job. You know, I'm just a normal person. I don't want to fluff myself up, but yes, I've been in the vaccine realm for a long time. Been fighting a good fight. I've been standing in the gap. I would basically talk and lecture about how the government lies to the people when regarding vaccinations and how they manipulate data to scare the people. I got labeled one of the disinformation dozen during the pandemic. They said I was responsible for 65% of the misinformation on the vaccines. And I said, damn it, I was shooting for 100. Okay. We put out a documentary called The Time Is Now. So we have a lot of great docs in there. We have Nurse Aaron, we have Peter McCullough and myself in there, and just kind of telling our side of the story. I am the director of epigenetics now for the Wellness Company. They hired me on and they wanted me to talk about vaccines and medical freedom, and just kind of they aligned with what I've been standing for. And so they're a great company to be with. And so that's why I'm here.
So today I got sent over a news/media release from the Wellness Company. The FDA rescinds warnings about ivermectin.
Yes.
So I'm guessing you were an advocate for the use of ivermectin for COVID-19.
Am I a horse, Tanner? Are you saying I'm a horse? You're right. You remember that? Yes. The FDA are so dumb. They put out a slanderous article. You're not a horse. Stop it. Even though this drug has been tried and true for many years, it's won awards for being safe and effective. It's one of the safest medications you can be on. Yes, it's absolutely crazy that we live in a world where the FDA was saying that. But yeah, now they're saying it's safe, and there's lawsuits now. So lawsuits, seem to be one of the best ways we can fight back against this whole nonsense. So yeah, absolutely.
So when people, like the Joe Rogan video for ivermectin was infamous throughout COVID-19. He went on the Peter McCullough protocol, seemed to kick it in about 24 hours. He started to get better. So I'm guessing them bashing ivermectin for so long was to get the
vaccine.
To get the vaccine rolled out.
Yeah, 100% it was, man. So that's why they had to criminalize ivermectin. They had to criminalize hydroxychloroquine, and they had to criminalize these drugs because these drugs were helping people get well. And so they passed emergency use. And so in order to have the emergency use, and you cannot show, I'm sorry, let's backpedal this. With the government passed emergency use, in order for the emergency use to have the vaccine be implemented as a mode of treatment, it had to show that no other therapeutics or medications were beneficial. So once that emergency use got passed, they criminalized any other drug or therapeutic. They persecuted medical doctors for prescribing. They literally, pharmacies out there were afraid, and pharmacists were afraid to even fulfill them at the prescriptions. And they were cracking down on these pharmacies, and they're cracking down on the doctors, which is criminal. I mean, if this was a great pandemic, a truly a great pandemic, and if they truly cared about people getting well, shouldn't we throw everything we have at these people to get them well? But no, that's not what this was about. This was not about health. This was about to funnel in the vaccine and get the vaccine on the childhood schedule. So once the vaccine got on the childhood schedule, now there's no liability. These drug companies are immune to lawsuits and everything else, and you cannot sue these drug manufacturers for injury now. And now we're pushing this vaccine on the childhood schedule. It's criminal. They should get that off there. This vaccine is a disaster. It's genome therapy. It has nothing to do with, how do you say it? This isn't, they're playing God with these vaccines and these mRNA technology. So, you know, that's kind of a long-winded answer for you, but it really is, it's criminal. A lot of doctors have lost their license for prescribing ivermectin and getting people well and doing their job. So that tells you everything you need to know about what happened during the pandemic.
So with the FDA rescinding what they said about ivermectin, what kind of doors does that open for the regular folks?
Well, for A, it allows you to fulfill the medication without, and these pharmacies, without the fear of persecution, having that medication at hand. You get the ivermectin from the wellness company, there you go, you don't have to worry about it. But the other side of the coin is the doctors who lost their license, who had, who were under duress from the government's crackdown. I think these doctors have a lawsuit now because of how the government handled them and how they interfered with doctor-patient relations. Mm-hmm. And so I think there should be an absolute lawsuit there.
So for us in Canada, I don't know where, I'm guessing you're located in America.
Nebraska, God's country. Nebraska.
Okay. Nebraska. But for us in Canada, we can't even order the med kit from the wellness company with the ivermectin in it. So I don't know how it'll affect us so much, because unfortunately we live in communism here.
Dude, do I need to bring my freaking minivan up there, Trudeau? I'm going to go up there. I'm going to run that through your stinking house. That is absolutely criminal. Like, you can't have these medicines that are life-saving. That's it. And Trudeau is one of the most corrupt people I know. I mean, what he did in the lockdowns and it's absolutely criminal. He's not for the people of Canada. I don't know how that dude's still in office.
It's a definite tragedy, because what he's doing to us now is actually eliminating us through taxation. So we're so highly taxed, it's not even funny. And on April 1st, our carbon tax, which is absolutely ridiculous that we have that here, because we produce 1.7% of the carbon emitted on the planet. Maybe go talk to China if you want to do a carbon tax. But he's putting our carbon tax up by 21 cents. So that will increase our fuel prices for our vehicles by 19 or 20 cents April 1st.
Yeah, see, it's not right. I mean, taxation is theft. And, in the States here, we had a revolution due to, a 3% tax rate. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now I work 4 or 5 months out of the year for the government, because they take so many taxes. Mm-hmm. And it's criminal. And I'm learning some things about our taxes and our tax code and the Federal Reserve Act and, in the IRS and how they were set up. And I feel like we've been duped with these taxes. And I don't believe we should have an income tax as well. And I think we should have these government programs that try to force us to pay for these things that might go against our belief system, especially like a contradiction to what we believe. And it's like I don't believe in abortion. I don't want to be having my tax dollars fund Planned Parenthood. I think that should be, I should opt out of that. I homeschool my kids. Okay. Why do I have to pay taxes for public schools when my kids don't even go to that school, right? Mm-hmm. I'm teaching my kids myself. Where's my tax money then, right? So we should be able to opt out of these programs that we don't believe in, or if you know what I mean, that's called freedom. We have the freedom to vote with our dollar, freedom to choose where our dollar goes. But when the government's big enough and powerful enough to take everything you have and infringe upon that right, that's absolutely tyranny. I mean, I believe that there's a saying by Benjamin Franklin who said that when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there's liberty, mm-hmm. right? And that's where we need to go and put the government in place. The government is you and me, brother. It is people like you and me, for the people, of the people, by the people. But when we have crony, tyrannical people running the show like Trudeau or Biden or other people like this in this government, that means the government has grown out of their scope of practice. They're not abiding to the constitutional freedoms, and they are infringing upon our liberties and our God-given rights to seek life and liberty and happiness. And so we need to push back here and really, you know, I'll be praying for Canada and praying for you guys. But yeah, man, it, you know, it doesn't seem to be much better here in the States.
Well, my thoughts are with the United States too this year, as you guys have an election coming up in November. You got America's in for a tough time. This Joe Biden, Donald Trump thing is going to get out of hand 100%. And if the Democrats try to steal that vote again, I think you guys are there's going to be some crazy times that happen in America.
Dude, well, you think about our supply chain being interrupted with this Francis Scott Key bridge. You cool. talk about, you know, you talk about. You know, supply chain issues being a real forefront issue here. I mean, look at our dollar is holding on by the hair of my teeth. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like, it's non-existent. Our dollar is, I have no idea how the dollar has not collapsed in the States here. I mean, we've printed more money than ever before. And if you look at the roots of the Federal Reserve, it's not even anything to do with our government at all. It has nothing to do with federal at all. It's a privately owned bank, and they print dollars out of thin air, and they devalue the dollar for every dollar they print. And our dollar buys less and less and less. And they printed, I think, 40% of the world's currency. I'm sorry, the United States currency was just printed just in the last 3-4 years. So think about that. I mean, from an inflation standpoint, from a devaluing standpoint, you're going to see massive, massive devaluing of our dollar. Now you have supply. We're going to be a third world country here before we know it. Because if you look at all the immigration coming in here, there is a threshold. And you look at all the incentives for these immigrations. I mean, they get free healthcare, free education. They get all these things, and they can squat in these people's homes. And, you know, and that's going to overrun our healthcare system. If there was ever a pandemic, another pandemic coming, our hospitals can't handle the load. They cannot, they're not ready for it. And we don't have the manpower. And when the government comes in and tries to do another pandemic here, you know, I hope that people wake up to it, because we are in a volatile state right now. And I'm not here to push fear, but we need to be prepared first and foremost. You know, we need to be prepared and be ready and not give in to fear, but just being prepared.
Well, unfortunately, both of our governments, Canadian and American, they fuel politics off of fear. They make you scared for something, or like a pandemic, or the dollar crashing, or the economy going to crap, to get you to believe that the government's here to help you.
Right.
And we need to break that cycle of thinking now. If we right. don't, we're going to be locked up in gulags very, 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 very quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, the pandemic treaty, I think, affects you as well. And if the pandemic treaty passes, they're going to be able to pass pandemics without any evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did that with COVID. Look at the PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction test. They increase the cycle rate. I'm not sure if you know how that works, but if they increase the cycle rate of that test, you're going to get positives, and they're false positives. And they can lower the threshold of that cycle rate, and then it'll decrease positives. And so they can just increase the uptake. That's what they did in the pandemic. They increased the threshold. These machines were not calibrated, and they showed all these false positives. Look, all these people are getting diagnosed with COVID. And then when the vaccine rolled out, they lowered the threshold, so it lowered the amount of positive cases, and so it looked like the vaccine was working. And you know, if the pandemic treaty passes, It's going to be very scary because in the name of a pandemic, those who speak out or that are considered disinformation will be a threat to public health, and they'll be able to use any authoritative means necessary to silence us, like people like you and me who are speaking out. It'll not just be, hey, shut your podcast down. It'll be like, shut you behind bars.
Yeah.
And people need to wake the F up, because it's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when. And it's right here. We have a medical dictatorship of globalist caliber at our doorstep. And if we don't wake up, we're going to let them in our door.
Well, Canadians need to wake up, because I fully believe that I'm living on borrowed time talking to you right now on this show, as we have a bill that's going through the Senate right now called the hate speech bill. That bill would actually get me locked up in prison for life, or a $500,000 fine for this conversation.
Right. And I'm telling you, brother, that's when you get louder.
Yep.
Because people are going to get, they're going to catch wind of that. And one man with courage is a majority. And one man with courage in the face of oppression is a majority. Meaning, if you are the tip of that spear, and if that time comes, I pray that the good Lord gives you that courage and that confidence to stand boldly and know full well that he is behind you. And if he is for you, then who could ever stand against you? And that's the times that we're in, because, you know, just like during COVID, I spoke out in a big way before anybody knew anybody, before Peter McCullough was Peter McCullough, before these docs got famous. Like, you know, I was at the city council every week fighting the fight. And, you know, I got labeled by the government. Disinformation doesn't. They came after me. They seized my accounts. They deleted all my social media. You know, my social media was hitting 3 to 4 million people a month. And, but did I stop? No, I just kept getting louder. I kept pushing forward. And guess what happened? It created an army of people, an army of followers. Even though I got my account deleted 6 times, we still grew to 100-something thousand followers and on Instagram and on Twitter. And my point being is that, you know, when you stand for righteousness' sake and for truth, it will encourage many. And, you know, just like Sam Adams stated, you know, it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority of men keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of the people. That's how we win. And that irate, tireless minority of people, that convicted few, that have that power to change the world and the courage to do so.
Well, I'll tell everybody right now, I don't really care what happens. I will not shut this show down ever again, whether I have to go to AM radio, shortwave radio, public broadcasting systems. I don't care. I won't. I'm not stopping.
Right. Amen, brother.
They can come try to get me. Doesn't matter. They can throw fines at me like they threatened the last time. Doesn't matter.
Right.
We're in a point of no return here. If we don't start turning the ship around,
yep,
we're done.
Yep. Amen.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that Baltimore bridge, because that's suspect to me, because I'm pretty sure that that bridge was in the movie Leave the World Behind.
Oh, you're starting to sound like a crazy man, Tanner. You're crazy. Yeah, so I'm calling bullshit on that. Can I swear on your show? I'm sorry. I usually don't swear, but I'm calling
bullshit. I don't normally cuss, as I do have a very wide Christian-based audience. Yes. But I try. If you want to say shit, that's fine.
I don't usually swear, but it frustrates me so much that I'm calling bull honky on it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it is massive. It's okay. Let's just walk this through. By the way, if the wellness company's listening, you opened the can of worms here. I didn't start this. You did.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. But you know, I called my mom, who's in her 70s. She's like, first thing out of her mouth, what do you think about that bridge? I'm calling bull shit. And I said, I'm right there with you. Okay. My mom's like, it's so suspicious. Election year. That was in that weird Obama movie that came out, like you're talking about. The bridge just collapsed like a deck of cards. I mean, just falling out of thin air. Are you kidding me? I mean, and so that, and then the ship like turned very sharply and hit the pillar. But that, the point is, okay, if it was an accident, let's just say, okay, it was an accident. Let's look at the repercussions of this. That bridge was a massive artery for supplies. Okay. We're talking massive supplies agriculturally, for tractors, for seeds, chemicals, whatever, hazard waste. I mean, what you name it. Now, how far does that bridge set us behind? You know what I mean? Right. I mean, so like, think about it from not just a like, okay, an operational setback, but like an economic standpoint, agricultural standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many years is it going to take for us to recover from something like that? I mean, that's a massive wound to the economy, to the art, to the nation. And, you know, I don't think people realize the magnitude of that. And so you're going to, you know, you're going to see a massive hiccup more now than ever before. And so the timing is what's suspect. You know, that's why so many people are suspicious of it. And I just posted on my social media a poll. I said, do you think this bridge incident was baloney? It was an attack. And I think over 60% of the people said, yes, absolutely. This was an attack. I mean, I got people messaging me all the time. And so, anyway, and then you have the FBI guy come out right away and say, oh, there's nothing suspicious. Nothing to see here, folks. Okay. And then you got the other guy, the mayor. I think he was the mayor. Like, I think he just got elected like the day before that attack. And he's like, oh, you know, there's nothing suspicious. But I beg to differ, you know?
Well, when you look at the wars that are going on in the world right now, and then you kind of look at that as a military strategy, what's the first thing you're going to want to do to America? I'd be cutting their supply chain off.
Dude, that's exactly right. So, and that's a scary thought. I mean, they're playing chess right now.
Yep.
Right. And so this is a, I mean, this is fifth dimensional warfare to cause confusion. I mean, this isn't like, hey, they're coming in with army tanks and everything else because they know that we would be up in arms. We would know. But to get to cause confusion and do it a very subtle way, you know, you're going to have people that are awake and see that this is what it is. It's an attack. This is absolutely an attack. This is an agenda to interfere with our supply chain, to funnel the chains of globalism, to push the chains of that World Economic Forum's Agenda 2030 coming our way. You're seeing it coming our way. This is... people like you and I are fully awake to it. We smell the hog, S-H-I-T, right?
Yep.
And so, but again, we need to be prepared and ready. And that means we need to know the Lord. We need to have put our faith in Christ, step one, because the crazier this world gets, the more I cling to him. We need to be prepared with food and water and life medications, like the wellness company has some great stuff there. But that being said, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I do have a lot of questions around that.
I don't really see any of it as doom and gloom. It's just truth. It's honest truth. There's nothing good that we can talk about right now going on in either one of these countries that is going to give anybody hope. Yeah. That this is going to get any better unless people start doing their part.
Yeah, right. You know, that's the truth in itself. I think a lot of people want to live with a comfortable lie versus a hard fact. You know what I mean? Or the hard truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, complacency will lead to conformity. And conformity is really what you're just doing what everybody else is doing. Regardless to what is right. And, you know, God calls us to have courage, to be bold and courageous. And that means we need to do what's right, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And, you know, and stick to our convictions.
But here's something that the religious folks aren't going to like me to say. I talk to a lot of people that are in organized religion, and they don't want to do anything. They think that sitting around on your hands and waiting for the second coming is going to save them. At this point in time, folks, you need to get off your hands and you need to start doing something.
Yep. So here's the thing, man. I feel very convicted of that, right? Because I was very involved in my church. And I, you know, they were all in masks and they thought I was a loon. Okay. I even had a guy, I was on the worship team. I play the guitar and drums. And a guy even said, man, you're so lost, I feel embarrassed for you, right? No, I had hurt feelings and I might have been a little bitter at the time, but I forgive and move on. But I want to remind the people, during Hitler's time, there were 18,000 pastors. Okay. 18,000 pastors during Hitler's time. Okay. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor or priest at the time, and he was speaking out against Hitler. He said that this is corrupt, this is evil, this isn't right. And they would silence his, they'd cut the radio lines from him speaking. And 18,000 pastors during Hitler's time. Okay. 12,000 pastors said that Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a loon. We're not going to speak out. This is not our time and place. We need to fluff our congregation. We need to love everybody, keep the peace, and don't ruffle the feathers. Let Hitler do his thing. Okay. There was 3,000 out of the 18,000 that joined the regime. They said, man, this is, you know, Hitler's too powerful. I don't want to, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to just join the regime. And there were other 3,000 pastors that stood in the gap that were like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but they were heavily persecuted. And I think all of them died. And so, but that goes to say, where do you want to be? And where does God call us to be? Does he tell us to be like the 12,000? Does he call us to be like the 3,000 Dietrich Bonhoeffers or the 3,000 that conformed? And so, you know, it's like that quote from Edmund Burke. You know, the only thing for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, mm-hmm. right? We got to do something, stand in the gap. And so many people are choosing comfort and convenience. Ooh, the quote by Martin Luther King Jr. You know, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. We need to be bold and courageous in these times. And so, you know, because the time is now.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I believe it was 1776 in South Carolina. The British came over and they decided that they were going to run amok in South Carolina. And there's a bunch of men that decided the heck with this. And they formed their own militia and took British out, cut their supply chains off and fought them off. So this is doable.
It's 100%. And we're getting real close to that threshold again, brother. We're getting real close to that threshold where real men are fed up with this. We're at our breaking point right now. And we're going to be at the point where we say, when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. And when is that threshold? When is it going to be? When they tax us 90%? Yeah. When they say, you know what I mean? And when do we say enough's enough? And when do we form that militia? Because I was ready to do that yesterday.
Me as well. I can't wait for the day. I live 170 kilometers from the American border. I can't wait till I can go down there and meet a bunch of Americans and we can go handle business.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
Well, let's just start it.
Well, we started right now. Heck, what?
Let's do it.
Why not? I got a couple of quick questions for you about vaccinations. I think there's a lot of people out there that have kids that are really stuck with, because vaccinations come up for young kids. My son just came up for vaccinations and I was like, yeah, I don't know what they're putting in these things anymore. So what are vaccines that parents can get their kids that are actually safe?
None, zero, zilch. There is not a safe vaccine. Every single vaccine is a pharmaceutical. Every single pharmaceutical has side effects and adverse reactions. Problem is, these pediatricians and these doctors are not giving true informed consent. Okay. We are not being, we've been lied to about the history of vaccines. We've been lied to about their safetyness or the safety and effectiveness of these vaccines. There's some really good books out there, Dissolving Illusions. There's Miller's Review of Vaccine Reactions studies. There's The Poison Needle. Those are just a couple of books to start with. You know, they do flu shots in utero now, and they're not safe. If you look at, there was a study that was published in 2007 in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons that talked about it was a critical assessment of the ACIP's recommendation for administering flu shot during pregnancy, and they said that it wasn't safe and effective. So why are they pushing that on newborns now? And even the disclaimer on one of the flu package inserts said that the shot should not be given to anybody under 18 years of age. But these vaccines are not safe and effective. They have caused harm. And if you look at the vaccine courts, they have paid out roughly $5 billion since 1986. And so, you know, I encourage mamas to breastfeed these babies. That's one of the best things you can do. And, you know, I think breastfeeding is you know, God's vaccine. And we should not live in fear when it comes to these diseases. You know, measles is a benign issue, and it wasn't a threat till the vaccine came out. And then now you're seeing all these fear-mongering campaign, marketing campaigns to push the measles fear because they got a vaccine for it. And just like Paul Offit has said, he's a massive vaccine pusher, says that fear sells. And so people need to be educated. And we fear what we don't know. And if we just don't know anything, we listen to these white coats in the office, we're going to be like, oh my gosh, my baby can die if I don't get this vaccine. That's a very, very powerful tactic that these people use to coerce parents to get these kids vaccinated. I was never vaccinated, never, ever in my life. I'm still here. My siblings were never vaccinated. All of our kids have been unvaccinated. They're healthy as can be. And, you know, we don't have any issues.
I think a lot of it's got to do with this Western diet that we have. We're serving kids McDonald's, A&W, anything that's easily put in their hands, right, that can shut them up and fill them up.
Well, look at our food. It's nutritionally bankrupt. It looks better, smells better, tastes better. I had McDonald's that sat on my shelf for 13 years and it's not moldy, doesn't smell. And so what does that tell you? That food is, how long before that food breaks down? I mean, I guarantee that food will sit on the shelf for 100 years. And you're going to see that, I promise you. In 70 years, you're going to start seeing McDonald's. Look at my McDonald's at 100 years old. It's not moldy, doesn't smell. And you're going to see that. So if that food is not breaking down after so many years, 20 years, how long do you think your body has to work before that food breaks down? How systemically draining is that food in our body? And yeah, so we need to get that garbage out of our system. But yeah, you're exactly right. We consume more sugar now than ever before. I mean, you know, the back in the 1700s, the wealthiest of people would consume about 4 pounds of sugar a year. Now we consume anywhere from 150 to 180 pounds of sugar a year. And you wonder why we're so inflamed, why we're sick now more than ever before. And then people think that they can just get healthy by injecting these concoctions into the system. And they, you know, that's the problem. But vaccination is really an ego issue in the medical establishment, because they believe that they put these vaccines on pedestals, that they're so life-saving. But really, you know, God made our bodies, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he made our bodies to really heal and self-regulate. And we're not supposed to, you know, really fear disease. Yeah. I mean, I was taught that fear is the fire that fuels the furnace of disease. And so anyway,
I think there's a major problem with also what we put on our skin. These soaps that we buy to take a shower, they're legitimate poison.
Well, the parabens, the chemical perfumes, the fragrances, the synthetic fragrances are hormone disruptors. All these things, even the air fresheners we use are chemical, you know, they're hormone disruptors. The plastics can be hormone disruptors. I mean, think about how much we use our plastics. We cook with our plastics. We eat out of plastics. We drink out of plastics. Your cans of soda are lined with a plastic, hormone disrupting plastic. And you wonder why our hormones are all out of whack. I mean, yes. Yeah, so perfume, everything, anything on and in the body. Not only that, all these hand sanitizers, everyone's freaking out about hand sanitizers. And I'm like, you know, you know, there's more bacteria on and in the body, 10 times more bacteria on and in the body than we do have cells. So we can't be fearing this microscopic world, because it's really a symbiotic relationship. It was designed to have a symbiotic relationship. So we shouldn't fear the microscopic world. We should embrace it. Now, I'm not saying that germs and bacteria can't cause problems, but we shouldn't fear the microscopic world. We should seek to understand it and embrace it. But again, blaming, like, let's say, disease on germs and bacteria is a lot like blaming the flies for the dump, right? We need to clean the dump and the flies will go away. And that's a lot like our body. Our body is designed to be well if you give it what it needs.
So what we need to do is put proper things in our body. But unfortunately, there's a lot of us that have been injected with something that's producing a spike protein. And also you can get that through shedding and also contracting COVID-19. So how, I know my listeners are going to get sick of hearing this, but this is a very, very important point. How do we best get rid of the spike protein out of our system?
Well, I believe the most powerful way is fasting, first and foremost. Fasting is absolutely essential. We need to fast. You know, a lot of toxins can be stored in fat. And so, you know, we don't sweat necessarily fat out, but we breathe 90-something percent of fat out of the body. Okay, and so when we fast, we will eliminate toxins. I think there's physiological therapies that we can do to, like, you know, infrared saunas, all those things are good. The Wallace Company has probably the best supplement on the market for detoxifying the spike, which is the spike supplement, the spike support. Taking that daily can help. The nattokinase in there is very powerful at, you know, getting rid of that, and just taking that supplement is huge, but not neglecting our health, focus on good health choices as well. You know, obviously eating well, moving well, thinking well, praying well, and we can be well. And that's really the keys there.
Well, I'm going to get you out of here for today. This has been a fantastic conversation with you, Dr. Tapper. Before we go, you guys have an election coming up. Who are you voting for?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question right there, dude. I love things about Trump. I love things about Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, 100% honest with you, like, I love Bobby Kennedy. He's one of my top picks. And I really wish I could vote for Ron Paul. You know, Ron Paul should have won the presidential race in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other story, though, topic. But Trump is, you know, there's a lot of things I like about him. I like how the media hates him, and the media hates Bobby Kennedy as well. Bobby Kennedy has done a lot of great things, fighting against Monsanto and fighting for our freedoms in there. But again, I mean, there's a lot... there's a lot of confusion in the world right now. And I think a lot of people have no idea. I mean, about our voting system. I think our voting system has been hijacked. And I wonder if our votes even matter anymore. It's really a sad place to be if you think that.
Well, Bobby Kennedy, I wasn't expecting you to say his name just due to his VP choice.
Right. And Bobby's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And so he is a, you know, we have got to become friends since being on the Disinformation Dozen list, and we've had events together. And so I don't want to dishonor our friendship, and because I support him 100%, love him to death, but I do not support the VP pick. Mm-hmm. I think that VP pick hurt him. And, you know, I'm a gun-toting hillbilly patriot, and it's like, you know, I'll be his VP. I think we'd win over the Republican Party if we did that, and the Libertarians and the Independents, and because I'm not afraid to give my middle finger to the government and to tell them, hey, I'm for the people, and this system is by the people and of the people, and this operation has grown completely out of its scope of practice, and so we need to shrink the government. The only reason I'm motivated to get into politics is so I can downsize our government. And eradicate a lot of different departments. But anyway, that's for another topic. Maybe I'll run for president someday.
That'd be awesome. If I was American, I'd vote for you.
Yeah.
but I will urge the Canadian and the American people, even if you think that your voting system is rigged and you're like, I'm not voting just because it's rigged. Well, get out there and vote anyway, because that's your voice.
Yeah, really. I do encourage that. I still vote, and I'm not gonna, but I just, it, there's an amount of frustration that comes across when I see the amount of corruption in their political system. And I do, I have firsthand witness, I saw voting fraud in the Republican convention during Ron Paul, his race. And so, just made a lot of frustrations and bitterness that I have. But again, get out. And if more people were involved, if more people cared, about our freedoms and our politics as much as they do about football, we would have our republic in this country still.
Well, I fully believe that blue collar people need to start running for their political positions, whether it's a councilman, the school board, doesn't matter. I did it. I got elected. So you guys can do it too. So get out there, and try to take over some of your systems and put in some good policies and open up some freedoms for people. Dr. Tapper, thank you very much for your time today. And guys, remember twc.health/final shot. And I will leave the last word to you, Dr. Tapper.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk about these topics. It's refreshing to be on these topics. And I just want to encourage your listeners, we are in spiritual warfare again, but we need to have hope. Our hope lies in Christ, and hope is the most powerful drug there is. And no matter how dark and gloomy the world might be, there the sun is shining on the other side, and we need to have hope and have faith. And that's the number one pillar to health, is having faith. The other pillar of health is fitness. We need to move. The other pillar is function. We need to function well. And the other pillar is food. We need to eat well. And so if you're listening to this, I pray that I encourage you not to become your diagnosis, but to know that you can be well, not to become your situation, your circumstance, your diagnosis, your disease, and understand your body's ability to be well is far greater than Ouchie Fauci and Bill Gates and our governments have led us to believe.
That's the final shot.